Frequency Podcast Network. Stories that matter, podcasts that resonate.
Every economist on edge.
High living costs.
The real estate market is showing
an erosion.
Canada's economic struggles.
Value of the loonie against the greenback.
And rising unemployment.
Canada's economy is sliding dramatically.
Navigating this economy has never been more confusing or frustrating, and we are here to help with that. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, and this is Today in This Economy, where we keep you informed about what the latest economic news means for you. We are now in the week after Halloween, and you know what that means. It's time to start seeing your internet feeds, your local stores, plastered with holiday decorations and, yes, holiday deals. Here's the thing, though. In this economy, that might not be the worst idea. It turns out, in a couple of recent surveys, about a third of Canadians are planning to either buy fewer gifts this holiday season or spend less on the gifts they buy because they're struggling with their finances. Today, we're going to look at one of the ways to limit your holiday spending without disappointing everyone. And it turns out, one of the ways to do that is, yes, start right after Halloween. I'm sitting down today with Shannon Lee Simmons, who is a certified financial planner, as well as the creator of the New School of Finance, which I find is a really interesting way for us to think about our purchases and budgeting and everything else. Shannon, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. It's November now. We got to start thinking about the holidays, right?
It's like the clock strikes midnight on Halloween, and the next day, every store has all kinds of holiday stuff up.
Let me ask you this. What do we know over the past couple of, I guess I'll call them lean years in terms of affordability, about how people's holiday shopping and gift giving may or may not have changed?
So anecdotally, what I've seen, like on the front line of financial planning, is that as things become tighter and tighter on the home front for people, like financially speaking, the holidays create more and more sort of stress. But what's really interesting about it is that even though people may expect or they plan to spend less or cut back, often because of holiday spending is a tricky emotional thing, it ends up happening no matter what. So I often see a big rise in credit card debt at the end of the year. And I have found that to be more and more on the rise, so to speak, in the last few years as interest rates have gone up and the cost of living.
One of the reasons I wanted to talk to you early in November is because I am wondering if preparing well enough in advance and shopping well enough in advance can combat some of the, I didn't plan to spend this much, but it inevitably happened, that you just mentioned.
Yes, I absolutely think so. I think starting early, I used to give this tip to people who really struggled that you should like decorate your house for the holidays early in November. And the reason, like, it's kind of a funny tip, but at the same time, it's actually like a reminding you that this is happening so that you don't leave it all to the last minute, because most of those swipe, you know, screw it moments that we regret later happen under stress, where there feels like you're forced to do something. You have to get something. You don't have time to choose and you can't spread it out. So starting early, one, you can be really methodical about things, really think about stuff. Two, you might be there before the big, you know, I have a love-hate relationship with Black Friday, but let's say that you know what your plans to purchase are. You can actually buy things on sale because you're so well thought out ahead of time. And the other thing that I think is a huge deal is that there's just more time, so you can spread the purchases out. So if there's four paychecks between now and whenever your, you know, gift giving is, you can break it up, you know what I mean, and pay for it as you go versus the big boom and the big push at the end. So starting early, I think, is like the number one tip, because all the other pieces fall into place if you started early.
I know one of the things that you do with your clients and at the New School of Finance, and one of the things we've spoken about before on this show, is trying to untangle money from emotions. And when we're planning ahead to purchase gifts for loved ones during the holiday season, how do you budget properly for that when I think for a lot of people, you know, the amount we spend on someone tends to, if not actually represent, then feel like it correlates to how much we value them.
Yeah, I hear you on that. I think the first thing that you can do too is recognize that everyone is a little stressed out about money around the holidays. It's not just you. So having a conversation with your loved ones early on about how everybody wants to tackle the holidays this year is a brave thing to do, but perhaps the most important thing that you can do to untangle that feeling of like, well, I have to buy every single person here a very expensive gift or else they don't feel like I love them. So sitting down in early November, mid-November and saying, listen, you know, things in the economy are frustrating for many of us and not everyone is at the same level. And is there things that we can do this year? So some creative things like doing like a gift giving exchange where you pick, you know, you only have one person to buy for and then you can actually get a really nice gift for one person. And, you know, everybody picks a name out of a hat, like a Secret Santa kind of thing, or one of those gift exchange white elephant things, like those kinds of things where instead of buying all kinds of different presents, you could do just one meaningful, thoughtful gift. So you're still exchanging that, like, I love you, I thought about this, I cared about this. There's still all the beautiful things about gift giving without the sort of, I have to do this obligatory gift giving, which I think is the obligatory gift giving is the kind that makes people feel very sad and resentful. And so if you're having a conversation early on with people so that everyone's on the same page about how they want to tackle this, with adults, children are more difficult, but with adults, like, I think that that's like half the battle right there is to just openly discuss what the plan is for the grownups. For me, I find that that's been so effective. For my clients, that's been so effective. And most people are relieved. So often someone is very afraid to have that conversation. And then the other people are like, oh my gosh, yes, please, please. Can we just do that? I don't have bandwidth. I don't have time. I have money to do all these things. Let's just do, what everybody buys one gift for some person. And that's great.
How do you navigate the emotions around that when you're talking about family traditions? And a lot of people have the like, you know, well, we always do it this way. We always buy gifts for everybody. And, you know, even if it's small, and then they'll always be like, oh, well, it doesn't matter if it's not expensive. It doesn't have to be, you know, a big deal or whatever. And, you know, you or one or two other people involved in it are kind of hesitant to say like, look, I'm just broke. I can't keep up with you.
It takes bravery, truly. The emotional part of it is that first initial sort of conversation. And I would say how you can unpack that for yourself, it's like, what's at stake here if you don't have that conversation, right? So I often say, like, let's say that everyone just remains status quo, aka whatever tradition. Then the problem with that is that it leads to resentment. So this thing that's supposed to be joyful is actually frustrating and anxiety inducing. And I don't think anybody wants that. So if you can approach it, like, instead of being like, I don't have this and you do, and it's like, it's a very confrontational thing, I would say more like, I'm nervous and this is becoming something I'm like scared of and nervous of, instead of like this holiday tradition that is supposed to be making us all feel connected. This is making me feel like unconnected. This is making me feel like nervous and anxious rather than excited about the holidays. And I'm sure there are people out there that's like, yeah, my family would never, but I feel like most people, if the conversation is done from a place of like empathy and vulnerability about what's at stake for everyone, if we do this, then I think it would be well received, and there has to be a solution. So how you have the conversation is how you sort of untangle the emotions from this, is being vulnerable yourself, saying what's at stake for everyone here. Because most people don't want a person in their family coming resentfully into the holiday situation and it's awkward. That's not the goal. And so what is the goal? Everyone feels welcome and excited. That's the goal. So how do we make everyone feel welcome and excited? That is what we need to do here. So really thinking about the bravery it takes to do that, to be vulnerable and to say it. And if there is somebody else that you know feels the same way within that sort of pod of people, There is a safety in numbers thing, right? Like, you're not the only one that feels this way. Somebody else is brave enough to say it out loud as well. Let's have the conversation, but let's do so in a really kind, caring way. Because when we have those conversations, like, I can't afford this and you can, but we do it from a place of anger and resentment and blaming and guilt, then nothing gets done because everyone's like, well, you're just complaining, right? And so I think that it's how you have the conversation that's going to make or break whether a tradition changes or not.
That's a great way to talk about handling the emotions. I also want to get you on the practical side of things. We talked about preparing early. How do you prepare? What do? Do you make a spreadsheet? Do you set a budget? Do you budget per person, per total? Like, walk us through the actual process here so that we don't end up with all that credit card debt.
100%. I have lots of tips and tricks. So once you've had the conversation and you know who you're buying for, right? This is the, who am I buying for this year? I literally make a spreadsheet. I have a spreadsheet. And that's because it's like my love language. You don't have to have a spreadsheet. You could do this on a piece of paper on your phone. Doesn't matter. But you basically write out, who are all the people I'm responsible for purchasing a gift for this year? Making the actual list, thinking about, like, what is it that I want to get that person? What do they want? What would I love to give them? And writing that down and then seeing, okay, is that something I can get on like a Black Friday sale? Or is that a thing that I can get on sale at this specific point? Like, how can I get that for the most affordable price possible? Is there anything I can do to get it on sale? So number one, that way, if you go into those sales, you have a list of, like, you go in like militantly, like, this is what I need, this is what I want. You get in, you get out, right? Like, you don't, like, there's no browsing. So number one, you make a list. Number two, you put an estimated price tag around sort of like what that gift is going to cost you. If it's $50, $100, if it's $25, whatever it is, you put a price tag. So you should have a sort of estimated budget of like what you expect to spend over this whole gift giving period of your life, right? Of the next 2 months, so to speak. What are you going to spend? The third piece is like, okay, how do I break this up per paycheck? So what gifts am I going to do with this paycheck? What gifts am I going to do with this paycheck? What gifts am I going to do with this paycheck? Like, very concise, very on purpose, methodically doing it. And it all comes from that initial intention list of, who am I buying for and what am I going to get them, right? Really having that idea. Because where most people get caught up is, well, I don't know what to get that person. They go shopping to get inspired. And as soon as you enter into a mall or into an online shopping situation where you can fill a cart, you are being advertised to left, right, and center. The algorithms on Instagram and Pinterest, they know what you're looking for. They know what you're up to. They are going to find you at your weak moment. And the problem, especially with online browsing, is that you can sort of buy something with tapping your finger at like 2 a.m. from your phone. And so if you have the list and the intention around it, it can kind of stop you from doing that like endless browsing or searching and seeking, where your algorithm is going to get engaged. You're going to be really marketed to either in a retail location or on your phone as well. So those are the big tips from that list. It's list first, estimated price point second, separate it between the different paychecks that you've got. So there's an actual like purchase plan, and try to get everything that you can on sale. And then the last thing, this is a really clever one that I do as well, and a lot of people do, is saving up all of their sort of, you know, if they have a credit card points system, cashing in for like gift cards in November. So for example, if you buy a lot of your gifts on like Amazon or Indigo or something like that, and your credit card has points where you can swap them in for gift cards or the LCBO or whatever, you can cash those points in, get these gift cards, and then use those towards your holiday shopping as well to sort of offset some of the actual cash purchases that you're going to make.
This is all great. I will ask you one last question, which is, how do you handle the screw-ups?
Do you mean the gifts?
Yeah, you know, it's great to prepare in advance and follow all of those tips. People are still going to get caught up in the hype, or there's going to be somebody you forgot about, or there's going to be like a last minute thing at work. What do you do with the unexpected expenses, and how do you handle that when you're like, oh, I followed all of Shannon's advice and look, I still on my credit card. What do you do?
Totally. And probably going to happen. It's just maybe it'll just be reduced, right, than what it normally was. I also, Jordan, I call it the cost of merrymaking, right? So there's all these other costs in the holidays that go well beyond the gifts, right? How much hosting are you doing? Buying a bottle of wine to bring to a party that you might go to, a new outfit, all those things. And those end up on a credit card usually too, because they don't get as planned for as specifically as the gifts. And so I would say if you end up overdoing it and you've done all these things, it's probably a controlled burn. It's probably a contained situation if you've done all these fun tips. So that's great. So it's probably not as bad as it could have been should you not have done those planning. So there is still a pat on the back situation that's necessary here. And second of all, January is one of those times when a lot of people pull in, right? So they don't go, they're partied out. They are like extroverted out. Like everybody just kind of pulls in and says, it's dark, it's cold, I don't want to do anything, like I'm just going to stay in low and keep it low key. So if you've got a bit of a credit card hangover, then take advantage of the fact that you might be able to socially, acceptably, and without guilt, pull in a little bit for that month and use the money that maybe you would have normally spent, you know, out and about on to pay that back. That's something that you can do. You have to just make a plan. So in January, if you've got a credit card hangover, you just need to say, okay, open it up, look at your bill, look at it on your app and say like, okay, what am I going to do about this? Rather than getting overwhelmed, pay it off obviously with a line of credit if you have access to one so that at least the interest rate is low. It's way easier to stay at zero on your credit card when you're at zero. And so what can happen with people is, let's say you have like $3,000 left on a credit card after the holidays and you're freaking out. It's like very scary. But when you have $3,000 on a credit card, it's way easier to be like, well, what's another 50? Or what's another 100? What's another 300? Whereas if it's at zero, it's like the difference between going from zero to 100 is big versus 300 to 400 or 3,000 to 3,100. And so I would always say pay it off immediately to save the interest and also psychologically like get your credit card back to zero. And then make a plan over the next 3 months how you're going to tackle sustainably to wrestle that back down to wherever it was before January. So are you pulling in a little bit? Are you nipping and tucking in your spending? Like, what are you going to do in order to sort of get those things sort of wrestled down? And I'd say 3 months is a pretty practical, sustainable amount. Most people will try to do it all in January, and it probably sets, unless they go very hardcore, it's usually hard to get the whole thing down. And so be a little bit kinder to yourself. Like 3 months is a reasonable amount.
Shannon, this is amazing. As always, thank you so much for helping us navigate a stressful financial time.
Yeah, it is stressful, but it doesn't have to be. And I think it really does start off with communicating from a vulnerable spot with your loved ones to set expectations that are sustainable and realistic and welcoming and joyful for everyone. Because remember, that is the shared goal. Welcoming, joyful for everyone.
That's a good way to put it. Thanks again.
No problem.
That was Today in This Economy. And if you have an idea for an episode or a personal finance question, we want to hear from you. To get in touch with us, email hello@itepod.ca, or you can call us at 416-935-5935 and leave us a voicemail. But if you'd like us to play your voicemail on the show, you got to tell us that, because we won't run your audio without your permission. This episode was produced by Robin Simon with sound design by Matt Kesselman. Stephanie Phillips is our showrunner. Mary Jubrin is our audience development lead. Diana Kay is our business manager. And I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, your host and your executive producer. Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you next week.